In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us begin this Sunday morning service in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, as we, your children, have gathered here on this beautiful spring day that you have given unto us, we desire to thank you for all the blessings of this life. We thank you for so many things, but we know that you have given unto us many more things than we can realize or understand. For you have given unto us the way to heaven that we can only by faith believe. And so for all the blessings of this life, we humbly thank you this morning. We ask this morning that you would bless our gathering for the honor and glory of your holy name and for the edification of your kingdom and the strengthening of our lives of faith. We pray on behalf of those that this day are struggling with trials and difficulties of this temporal life, that you would be close to them. We know that you are always close to us, but help us, dear Father, to remember that you are. And we yet say this morning, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning we will pause before the gospel text that has been listed on the calendar for this first Sunday after Easter. And the theme that is noted there for our study is the witnesses of the resurrected. The witnesses of the resurrection, I'm not certain exactly the wording. But in Jesus' name, we will read from the Gospel according to St. John, from the 21st chapter. We will read the first 14 verses. With that hope and prayer that if it would be God's will to give of his word, we will speak those words. And if it is not God's will to open his word this morning, we will still sing praises to God. And the words are as follow. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fish's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Then Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fishes which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth to them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. We have heard much about this time of Easter, and Easter is the completion of the work that Jesus was sent here to do. Now, the theme for this Sunday speaks unto us about the work that you have been asked to do. It speaks about the disciples of Jesus. And as we concluded from this text, or the conclusion of this text, speaks unto us about the third time that Jesus was with his disciples after he had been risen from the dead, after he rose victorious on Easter morning. I'm not certain in the length of days, if this was 8 days after or 7 days after Jesus was risen from the grave. The Bible doesn't speak a lot of what that 40 days between Easter and Ascension Day was like. The Bible, at least when I read the scriptures, it gives an indication that Jesus was with his disciples, and then he would be gone. He would just be in their midst. He would be in the room. He would be speaking with them, comforting them, and then he would be gone. The Bible, I don't recall if it records that Jesus slept in the same house and was with his disciples and those kind of things as he was previous to his death and resurrection. But we know and believe, and God's word says unto us that Jesus was, he only appeared unto those that believed after Easter morning. We can read in God's Word the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus during the work of Jesus. And I don't know if Saul was in Tarsus during this ministry of Jesus, or if he actually seen Jesus with his own eyes. The Bible doesn't indicate, I don't believe. But the Bible says Apostle Paul, in one of his writings, he says that Jesus appeared unto the disciples. And then he appeared unto him as a man out of due season or something to that effect. I'm not quite certain the phrase he uses. But it was after he was not a believer at the time when Jesus was put to death. And for some time afterwards, he did the work of unbelief. He thought of, in his own mind, he was doing right, but he's actually doing wrong. And that's how it is when a person does not have God's Holy Spirit. You might think you're doing right before God, but actually it's not right, it's wrong. You can only do right before God through His Spirit. Although we can say that temporally you can do nice things and the Bible, excuse me, instructs us how to behave and to act here in this life. And there's many people that get their morals and so on and so forth from the Holy Scriptures, and that's well and proper. But the Bible says that there's none that doeth good before God. No, not one. And so the only way that you can please God is, as the Bible indicates or tells us, is that by faith. That's the only way you're able to please God is to believe in God and live by faith through the work of His Son, through the Holy Spirit. That Spirit that makes us, that sanctifies us before God, makes us acceptable to Him. But the Apostle Paul, as we were mentioned, was he had seen Jesus as a man born out of due time. And when we read in God's Word from the Acts of the Apostles, that I'm not certain if Paul was referring to this happening of Scriptures or he was referring to another time, when he says that he was seeing the Lord out of a man born out of due time. But he was on a road to Damascus, which most of us are familiar with that happening of Scriptures, when he was yet doing the work of unbelief. And Jesus appeared unto him. But he didn't appear unto him in a recognizable way, in his body as he was with his disciples. But he appeared unto him in a bright light. And he heard Jesus, but he didn't recognize who it was. And we can, excuse me, say even today that there's many that hear the voice hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, but they don't recognize. The voice of the Lord Jesus we hear through God's Spirit. When it's spoken through God's Spirit, we as the children of God recognize that voice as the voice of the Lord Jesus. For it calls us and it gathers us and it straightens the way to heaven. Sometimes we're starting to go down a road that's not directly leading us to heaven. And Jesus straightens that way for us through His Word. He instructs us and He corrects those ways that we have gone that it's not right before God. And we as the children of God, when we hear of things, and sometimes we know that, well, that's just not right. What is it that makes us understand that? It's God through His Spirit, through His Word. And we can sometimes, somebody might say, well, you're judging the matter. Well, maybe so. But we're not judging whether a matter, a person is going to make it to heaven or not. We're judging the matter. Is it right before God? Is it right before His Word? Or is it not? God's Word is the truth, and it's the correct way for any one of us to travel. And if we're going against God's Word, that's not right. And if somebody says that's judging, well, so be it. But as we were mentioning, the Apostle the Apostle Paul was traveling that road to Damascus, and Jesus appeared unto him in a bright light from heaven. It was so bright that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, lost his eyesight. But in that blindness, even of no visual temporal eyesight, he heard this voice, and what Saul heard was different than the others that were with him. But Saul answered, "Who is it?" He heard this voice. And the voice he heard replied in this way, "It is Jesus." And so, Jesus didn't forgive Paul there. He didn't forgive Paul there. But he gave him some instructions on what to do. The work that Jesus had been sent to do had been completed. Now it was the time for the work of the disciples. You and I. And so this work has continued since then. And when the work that what Jesus had told Saul of Tarsus to go into the city, there'd be a man there. He gave the name of the man. He was a believing man. It could have been you or I if you had been living during that time. And this man knew of Saul of Tarsus, and he was afraid of him because he had bound many prisoners and taken them away and put them into prison for the only purpose that they believed on the merit work of the Lord Jesus. For some reason or another, it angers the sinful part of man when a person is endeavoring to live by faith. We know we're no better. We are no better. But we have a very important thing in us as believers. We have God's Spirit. And that makes you acceptable to God. It doesn't make you better as a person. It makes you acceptable to God. And because we have God's Spirit, we want to live according to God's Word. And when we do not live according to God's Word, that's called sin. And we as the children of God want to put sin away so that God would remain in us. We don't control God. God controls himself. He's capable of it. But he wants to abide in your heart. And if you do not put sin away, God just might leave. So we've been encouraged through God's Word to put sin away when it attaches on the way to heaven. We spoke a little bit this morning in Sunday school about two of the disciples of Jesus who had lost faith. One of them didn't make it to heaven. One of them repented of sin and did make it to heaven. That one that made it to heaven, we've read about here this morning. He was with the disciples. And as we mentioned this morning in Sunday school, the two men that lost faith, they both recognized and realized they had done wrong. They went to two different places to correct their wrongs or attempt to correct their wrongs. One of them went to the temple, which we could say that it was would have been a good choice to go. One of them went to a lowly place. One of them went to a high place. But that's what happens when a man loses faith. And they no longer have a guide. We're in darkness. And if God leads you to the right place, then you will know. God led Peter to Jesus, to the disciples, to the believers. Judas didn't go to the believers for help. He went to the temple. He went to those that had given him those 30 pieces of silver to deny faith, to deny the Lord Jesus, to betray Jesus. They didn't help him there. They didn't They didn't accept that money back. Judas, I suppose, thought that he was going to make amends for what he had done, and naturally he thought he would return the money. And they couldn't help him. They didn't really care about him. They cared about him before he had betrayed Jesus. But afterwards, they didn't care about him. It's the same way with this world. It seems that they care about us. But if you deny faith, do they really care? They might care about your temporal well-being, but what about the soul? What about the Spirit of God? They can't help that. Only here in the kingdom of God can you find help to believe. This portion of God's word, as we already mentioned, was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had risen on Easter morning. And the disciples, as we know and we can read in God's word, some of the disciples were fishermen, like Peter and his brother Andrew were fishermen with their father, and the sons of Zebedee, as which we read in our text, were James and John, which we know those two disciples, they were brothers. That was their natural, their earthly calling. They were fishermen. And we can read in God's word that when Jesus called Peter to be a disciple, Peter was fishing. He was working on the seashore. Maybe he was cleaning the nets. I can't remember. The Bible says, but if you have time, you can, your own curiosity, you can read about it. And Jesus walked by and he called Peter to follow me. And Peter left the nets there, and maybe Andrew was with him. I'm not certain, but he followed Jesus. And Jesus told Peter, he says, I will make you fishers of men. I don't know if Peter understood exactly what he was speaking about, but he did follow Jesus. Now, this portion of God's word is early New Testament time, and the disciples, it was before Pentecost, but the disciples were gathered together, and Peter thought, well, I might as well go fishing. Their life was now going to be different than it had been. They had spent 3 years or so following Jesus every day, doing the work of Jesus, I suppose probably taking notes of some of the things that he did, and it was a busy time for them. And now Jesus was gone. He had been put to death. They knew he had risen from the grave. He had been with the disciples. He had showed them, and they had believed. But he had also given them this instruction that wait here and until the time of Pentecost. And so they were living this time from Easter to Pentecost. Jesus had given them some instructions, and they were attempting to live according to those instructions of God. And so during this period of time, this evening, they went fishing. Peter says, well, I'm going to go fishing. And the other disciple says, well, I'm going to go with you. But maybe it was a different type of fishing than those, well, we catch fish, the fish are the fish, but it's a different type. They use nets. And it's enjoyable to go with the other children of God and partake of those things that God has given us that are not wrong here on the earth. And fishing is one of those things. And so they wanted to go with them. So the disciples there, I think there were maybe seven of them. They were in this boat and they were fishing. But they fished all night long. So apparently they went into the net or the boat in the evening, and they fished all night long. And then the Bible says that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They were 200 furlongs, or what does it say? I'm not certain the distance, but close enough to shore that they could see there was a man standing there on the shore. And it was early morning. They'd been fishing all night long and they didn't catch anything. And so as the sun began to rise there in the morning, they looked towards the shore and there was a man standing there. And the Bible says that, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? So he asked them this question, have you any meat? And so naturally they would have thought that, well, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught any meat. So they answered, no, we haven't. We don't. So Jesus said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. Maybe it was common practice to always fish from the left side of the ship. I'm not certain if it was easier to haul the ships up that way, or maybe they're right-handed people or left-handed. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. But as they were fishing, the ships are not too wide, so it seems like with our minds we might think that what difference does it make if you fish from one side or the other? But Jesus says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. When I read this portion of God's word, it kind of indicates to me or gives me this idea that sometimes it seems like we know where we should preach, what we should do when we speak now in the New Testament time. We should speak to this person. We should go speak to that person. But always we should be ready to give an answer. As the Bible says, of the hope that we have. The reason for the hope that you have. And so it's always good to be ready to give an answer. The disciples were fishing, and this was a natural thing, but I think it portrays maybe a spiritual meaning to us. That it's not always in the way that we've always done it. But God works in mysterious ways. Always be ready to give an answer of the hope, the reason for the hope that you have. And so the disciples, they cast the nets on the other side. Maybe they had them in the net in the boat already and they were done fishing. They had been fished all night long. They didn't catch anything. Maybe it's for you, dear parents of unbelieving children. It seems like you've spoken so many times. And you've maybe thought that I'm done. No sense in saying anything more. Be encouraged. Continue to speak of the hope that you have in your heart, the reason for it, the Lord Jesus. He's done everything for you, and all you need to do is believe in the merit work of Jesus, that your sins are forgiven, and you can forgive each other their sins. Do not give up hope. So they cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. So they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith to Peter, it is the Lord. I'm sure you, dear brothers and sisters, maybe it's happened to you that somebody from this world has asked for forgiveness. You know where the words came from. You know where the power came from to believe. It didn't come from you. It came from the Lord. And so John recognized that it was Jesus that was giving that instruction to them to cast the net on the other side. And John realized it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. So apparently he had some outer garment, some fisher's coat on, and he took that off, and he cast into the sea, so it would have been easier for him to swim. He couldn't wait for the ship to get to the land. But he jumped in, and he began to swim towards shore. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Already prepared a meal. Dear brothers and sisters, when you come to the services of God's children, there's already a meal prepared for you. And it's not the minister that happens to be serving, or the Bible class leader. The meal has been prepared by God, by Jesus. Already when they got to the land, Jesus was there. There was, as it says here, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. The Bible says about God's word that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All the scriptures are God's word. It's the bread of heaven. When we come to the services of God's children, we can freely eat of the food that's offered unto us. The devil wants us to in some ways begin to question that, is that right? Is that God's word, or is it not? When you look at the servant that comes to serve, you know that they're flesh and blood. They're sinners. And oftentimes, it seems they're the greatest sinners. But the Bible says that my strength is made perfect in weakness. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish what you have now caught. So they had come there to shore, and Peter helped the disciples drag that net of fish. So many, it was hard to gather so many. Jesus says, bring of the fish what you have now caught. Those people that desire to believe, that are struggling with matters of sin, where do you bring them? To the Lord Jesus. As the Bible told Peter, I will make you fishers of men. This was a little lesson maybe for Peter. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. So many fish in the net, but the net didn't break. God's word will not break. It'll last unto eternity. May it be, dear brothers and sisters, that we can continue to cast the net of God's word here in this world. I'm not certain the significance of this 153 fishes and who counted them, but there was 153 in the net. I was thinking about it on the way here this morning. Maybe that was indication of all the nations of the world. I'm not certain how many countries there are in the present day world, but they're all God's created people. We want to speak freely about the hope, the reason for the hope that you have. God is the one that gathers the net, gathers the fish into the net. We're only the workers of God. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus was there on the shore. They gathered the net there and pulled the fishes. They didn't question who it was. They knew. When you come to the services of God's children, it doesn't usually cause much question in our mind where we're going and what we're there for. We're there for the strengthening of faith, the encouragement to continue to believe. And so it was for the disciples on this morning. Jesus invited them to come and dine. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared unto the disciples. Jesus has appeared unto us many times in this life. We have come to the services of God's children so many times, and always we've heard this invitation to come and dine, come and believe. Dear brothers and sisters this morning, you need not worry, you need not doubt. You can simply believe as children this morning. All of your failures, your sins of the journey forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. That is how we endeavor on this way to heaven. One of the Old Testament texts for this morning gives such a beautiful picture of this kingdom of God from the 8th chapter of Zechariah. It so beautifully shows unto us the kingdom of God. It says in this way let's just begin reading from the beginning of that chapter. It says, again, the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Here in God's kingdom, the Jerusalem which is from above, it's the city of truth. This is where God's word is found. This is where you hear the truth of God's word. It's not sugar-coated so that we would like it better. But it's the truth. We hear the truth of God here in God's kingdom. And then it goes on to say, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old women and old men dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. We can see this morning the elders that are gathered here, staff in their hand, the staff of faith, has been their crutch here to believe. They've leaned upon the staff of faith, the gospel. They're continuing to believe in that same way. And it also says, and the city and the streets of this city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Here's a good picture of the kingdom of God. Boys and girls, young and old, traveling together, believing, putting sins away, endeavoring on the way of faith. Dear brothers and sisters, it's a beautiful kingdom that we are called into. May you be given strength to be the witnesses of Jesus here in this life. Not for any salvation, but because of the salvation that God has promised you when you believe. Be encouraged and emboldened to believe. Continue to believe, dear brothers and sisters. And if there happen to be those matters of conscience that are weighing you down, do not allow them to remain there, dear brothers and sisters. Go and speak about the matters and be set free. We are saved by faith, but committed sin destroys that faith that we have in God. At least that's been my experience. But it feels so wonderful when I've been able to open my mouth to speak of the matters that have weighed me down. And always I've heard here in this kingdom of God from young and old alike, children and elders and middle-aged, you can believe those sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, holy atonement blood. Be ashamed of sin, dear brothers and sisters, and be not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. So be encouraged and emboldened to remain believing this evening, this morning. All of your sins forgiven. It's wonderful that we can, on this morning, come to the services of God's children and hear the encouragement that comes from God through His Spirit. It gives us power and strength to battle onward. The battle oftentimes is fierce, and the devil is close, and he's there in our minds even. So close in our minds. But God is there in the heart, encouraging us through his Spirit to believe. And I, this morning, dear brothers and sisters, it's so oftentimes it is for me when I come to this place to sit before you. The devil makes my feet slow, but I want to believe. Can I hear the gospel? Can I believe my doubts forgiven this morning? I want to travel with you. I want you to make it to heaven, but I want to be there on the last day. I still want it to be faith in my heart. And I know that sin destroys doubt, and sin destroys that faith. And so we put sin away so we can be encouraged and remain believing. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.